flight attendant, Hollis Gillespie, sees all kinds of people on her flights, and most of them fit into some kind of category: the business traveler, the vacationer, the college student going home on break. But sometimes there's a passenger she can't quite classify. Even more rare is the passenger with whom she can't communicate at all.
My German tutor tells me I speak her language like a Turkish construction worker. So when I misconjugate a pronoun, she slaps the coffee table with her hand and shouts, "You are a turkey!" Regardless of her opinion, I managed to qualify as a foreign language interpreter for the airline where I work. So on the plane, I'm now known as the language interpreter flight attendant. I don't mind because it makes me feel important and I get to boss people around. Like the other day, when a man refused to properly stow his carry-on bag. You know, it's very important to make sure everything's in its place before we back away from the gate. It's not okay to put your boombox in your lap or your baby in the overhead bin. No, everything has to be just right before we can announce to the captain that the cabin is secure and we can get going. That's the important part, isn't it? To get going. But this flight wasn't going anywhere. We couldn't leave until this man seated in the back of the plane secured his carry-on luggage. Some of the other flight attendants thought he was acting suspiciously because he seemed so reluctant to surrender his baggage. So I was summoned. I was the language interpreter, after all, and therefore automatically dispatched to deal with stuff like this. Upon first glance, I thought right away I'd have trouble communicating with this particular passenger. He might have been Middle Eastern or maybe Italian, neither of which is a region where I know the language. His body was wedged in his coach class seat like a big ball of softened cheese, and a spiky-haired mole the size of a sea urchin grew out of his ear. He was probably 60, and his breath hung so heavily in the cabin you could actually feel it on you. And on his lap was a big black bag. I tried speaking German. I tried speaking Spanish. I tried speaking English. Those were all the languages I knew, and I still couldn't convey to him that he needed to give up his bag to be stowed before we could back away from the gate. But the passenger's German was even more indecipherable than my own, and the only English word he knew was "you." Somehow, though, I understood there was something inside the bag he needed with him right then. So through charades, I convinced him he could take out the things he needed, and we could store the rest in the bin above him, and that way we could get going. So I watched him rifle through the bag's contents and retrieve one item. It was an 8x10 glossy black and white photograph. He thrust the picture at me, smiling and shouting the only English word he knew. "You," he roared. "You, you, you." I took the picture and looked at it. It showed a slim, handsome young man in a cavalier pose, looking up as if he were caught in the act of laughing at a roguishly off-color joke. It might have been a publicity still from the 50s, except his hair was a little too long and lustrous. Maybe he was a young king. "You," the passenger said again, indicating the photograph. I told him I didn't understand what he wanted. He took the picture out of my hands, pointed to it and then to himself. "You, you, you," he said again, and then he laughed. For the first time, I really looked at the passenger's face, his cauliflower-shaped face, and suddenly I understood. The picture was of himself when he was young. He had gotten his pronouns mixed up, and when he said "you," he thought he was referring to himself. He pointed to the picture. He pointed to me. He pointed to himself. "You," he said, his finger aiming proudly at his chest. "Me," I corrected him softly. "Me," I thought to myself, and I took the baggage, and I secured it properly, and we got going.
Hollis Gillespie is a flight attendant and writer based in Atlanta.